This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وبعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that none is worthy of worship but Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammadin fil awwalin, wa salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammadin fil akhirin. وصلي وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to send His choicest blessings upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to make us from those who are blessed with His shafa'a on the day of sorrow, and to make us from those who are His companions in Jannatul Firdaus if we were unable to be His companions in the dunya sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. I wish once again to thank my dear brothers and sisters, the administrators and the trustees of Green Lane Masjid, the community of Green Lane here in the city of Birmingham, for giving me this platform and this ability to share just some of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the time that we spend between Al-Maghrib wal Isha here today a time of remembrance of Him, sincerely to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it is found in our scales on the Day of Judgment as being a proof for us and not against us. Allahumma ameen. Now, the topic that was asked for me to discuss is a topic that I believe the vast majority of Muslims who seek to practice it have not been formally taught it. And the topic relates to Salatul Istikhara. And it's important, inshallah, to kind of outline three different aspects that we're going to discuss today. The first is we're going to discuss the fiqh of the salah, which is the jurisprudence, things that are related to it, that enact the spirit of the salah in its fiqh and its jurisprudence. Second, we're going to speak about its reality in its day-to-day application, how you and I use it, and how it was used by the best of people in the best of times that preceded us, and what its ramifications were in their life. How did they practice it? And third is to understand misconceptions that relate to this particular salah. One of them, subhanAllah, one of our du'a, he pointed it out to me, even in the poster that was advertising this, and it wasn't something, you know, that I was reading it critically. In the poster it says, before you make any decision. And subhanAllah, Salatul Istikhara is not really about helping you make decisions. That's not the basis of Salatul Istikhara. That's one of the main misconceptions. Most people, when they think of Salatul Istikhara, they say, hey, I have this decision to make, so let me ask Allah to help me make the decision. And then it's not clear, should I do this or should I do this? I asked Allah to help me. Should I marry the girl? Should I marry the boy or not? Should I take the job or not? Should I buy the car or not? And that's not how Salatul Istikhara was meant or was practiced by the Sahaba, as was taught to them by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we want to clarify this misconception. Many, many questions that you will see, somebody will say, you'll regularly get a brother or a sister, they'll say, Sheikh, my mom did Salatul Istikhara for me. And there is no evidence in any of our books of fiqh that this was ever done by anyone on behalf of anyone. If anyone, could you imagine if you're living with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's better than to ask to make Istikhara for you? You ever hear that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a big decision to make. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you do istikhara for me? Did anyone come to Umar and say, Ya Umar, anta amirul mu'mineen radiallahu anhu arda? Yani, there's no Abu Bakr, there's no Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with us, radiallahu anhu Abu Bakr. Make istikhara for me. Can you believe that a man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and said, Ud'u Allah li, make dua for me, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Qala la, never I will make dua for you. Not because I don't like you. Why are you asking me? What makes you think I'm so special? But you're Umar. No. What makes you think that your dua is less than my dua? You're the one with the haja. فَالْحَاجَةُ لَكْ. It's your issue. It's your concern. It's your need. So make dua for yourself. And that's one of the fiqh that you learn from that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he says, as is narrated by Imam Muslim, that the one who makes dua for his brother without his brother knowing, بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ, without his brother knowing, then Allah sends an angel and says, Ameen, your dua is accepted for your brother. It wasn't interchanged in that way where you said, oh, this person is holier than me, better than me, they're more likely that their dua is answered than me. La. But when someone remembers you in their heart and they think kindly of you and they make dua for you without you knowing, then their dua is answered on your behalf. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu. Look how much he attached people to Allah and not to personalities. Look how he centered the focus on the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Here Allah doesn't say قُلْ. In hundreds and hundreds of places in the Qur'an is full of قُلْ. Tell them I am near. No, not here. Don't tell them, Ya Muhammad. I am near. You don't need to be an intermediary between me and them. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's many misconceptions, inshallah, that we wish to clarify. Now for many of you, I hope, I see a lot of you, alhamdulillah, you've been given this one sheet of paper. And this is the riwayah of the hadith that we're going to study. And I thought we would study this concept of istikhara in a formal way. So therefore we're going to look at the matn of the hadith. And this hadith is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. Let's begin with who is al-Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh, is the Imam of hadith of his time and after his time. Is the Imam of hadith from the moment he was in the study of hadith and collecting the books of hadith, especially his Sahih al-Jami', which is where this hadith is collected, until the day Allah inherits the earth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one will surpass al-Imam al-Bukhari's fadl in what he has done in salvaging, protecting, giving victory to the sunnah and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And al-Imam al-Bukhari, when you ask the scholars of hadith, our teachers, they will tell you that when you want to identify a hadith in its terms of authenticity, one of the categories in which book is it placed. And therefore the highest hadith is the hadith that is muttafaqun alayh, a hadith that is agreed upon, that both al-Imam al-Bukhari and al-Imam Muslim include in their books of hadith. The hadith immediately after it is the hadith that is found only in al-Imam al-Bukhari, even though al-Imam Muslim has not narrated it. Al-Imam Malik, was the first book of hadith that the Ummah said was a valuable book of hadith. And it was said that there's no book that is more authentic than the Muwatta of al-Imam Malik, meaning at his time. But in fact, the Ummah ajma'at has accepted in its collection that there is no effort of gathering just authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was done in a more meaningful and complete way than al-jami' of al-Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Even though al-Imam al-Bukhari has this makana, he had people who were his enemies. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you're living in a time where al-Imam al-Bukhari is around and that there are other ulama who criticize him and critique him? Notable ulama. And this I want to establish as an important lesson for you. I know our topic is istikhara, but we have to study ilm properly. Right? Do not ever believe that there was any alim, any peak scholar, even Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh, who did not have someone contend with him, who did not have someone critique him, who did not have someone point out fault in him, who did not have someone oppress him, who did not have someone wrong him, and misspeak about him, and misjudge him, and trial him, and test him in his knowledge, in his practice, and in his aqidah and faith. All of it would happen to al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh. But when Allah accepts your good, even if the whole world gathers against it, Allah keeps it. And therefore other books that are written, and it's meaningless for me to mention the names of the people who contested al-Imam al-Bukhari. Why? Because history has ignored them, for the most part. Who do you remember? Bukhari, radiallahu anhu wa ardaah, rahmatullahi alayhi. But those who contended him are forgotten. In the time, their voices were loud. But afterwards, what remained was what Allah favored, what was beneficial to the ummah. And this reminds us of an ayah in the Quran. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. Allah says, when it rains, and there's a lot of rain, and it begins to pool and run over the land, it carries with it a lot of things. But at the end, all those things that are carried by the water, they're settled and they're not as significant as the water that seeps in the earth and gives it its life, that brings out fruits and vegetation and strengthens trees. That's what it is that is long-lasting. It's not the stuff carried on the surface of the water that people pay attention to. It's actually the water and the barakah that it contains in and of itself. Al-Imam al-Bukhari was the rain of barakah of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The hadith is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu ardah. Jabir ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram al-Khazraji al-Ansari. He was born 15 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning he was born 2 years before the risala was delivered to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Yathrib. And he was from a family of people who were not well to do. They were people of modest means, a poor family. And he was the only son of his father and mother, and he had 7 sisters, or as some ulama say, 9 sisters. And his father lived to an advanced age and was one of those who were honored with the shahada on the day of Uhud. Radiallahu anhu arda. He's one of the companions of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jabir ibn Abdullah was involved in 18 battles, and you might say 19 battles in assisting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you count that he was in Badr. There's difference of opinion amongst the ulama. We know in the Battle of Uhud, his father forbade him from fighting. And I want this to become an important lesson for my young brothers and sisters today. Could you imagine Medina is under siege? The mushrikeen have come all the way from Mecca targeting your city, your home, the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, Ashabu Rasulillah. And the only place that the Sahaba can meet them is at the footstep of Uhud to face the enemy a little bit outside Medina. Because if the enemy comes in, you've lost. And as you stand in Uhud, the munafiqeen say, we are not going to go out to fight with you at Uhud, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you are outside the precincts of Medina, we're going to stay behind. تَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. All of a sudden the army shrinks in half. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Uhud, and there are 200 horsemen with Khalid ibn al-Walid, and there are... And you're 16, 17 years old. MashaAllah, full of vigor, full of strength. You're one who's ready to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you get ready, your father comes to you and says, son, put down that shield, put down that sword. I forbid you from fighting. Why? We need every able-bodied man. You're not allowed. You have sisters to worry about. You have 7 sisters, 9 sisters, according to the different riwayah. I'm fighting. I'm your father. I have the honor of being with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You young man, the only job you can do is to bring water to the injured. Subhanallah. Could you imagine Jabir ibn Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi, even when the battle turns against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, he maintains his father's promise upon him. That's how important your father's command of you is. There's young people today, their father says, don't go out tonight. He goes, I go wherever I want. I'm a man. Who are you to tell me go and don't go? Who are you? Difference. Jabir ibn Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi radiyallahu anhu arda. He was the one who the Prophet ﷺ made dua for. He is one of the largest, most reported hadith reporters from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The person who reported many hadith from the Rasul ﷺ. He's one of the top 10 hadith reporters, maybe even top 5 hadith reporters of the Prophet ﷺ. He lived to accompany Ali radiallahu anhu ardah. He was in the khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu. And he was always on the side of Ali. He was next to Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was one of the staunchest in faith in fulfilling his covenant to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he lived to an old age, past the age of 90. Some say 94 years old. And in his final days, he became blind. And he was buried in al-Iraq. He was buried in al-Iraq. Radiallahu anhu wa ardah. The cause of his death was that he was poisoned by al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, who was one of the emirs that was given power over the believers. And he was a person who we believe remains a Muslim. We don't have la'an upon him, but he was zalim. And may Allah give him from his mercy or what he is fitting for. Allahumma ameen. Jabir ibn Abdullah is the one who reports this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's reported that Jabir reported nearly 1500, if not more, hadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He's currently buried in the city of Mada'in in al-Iraq. Jabir ibn Abdullah, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yu'allimuna, he used to teach us Salatul Istikhara, the way he would teach us the Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in this, some of our ulama have said, therefore Salatul Istikhara should not be recited in a language other than Arabi. And therefore, although it is permissible for a person to make dua in any language, that the nas of this hadith was taught to the Sahaba with precision. If they were to change one word in its order, the Prophet would correct them. Why do you get this? Because Jabir ibn Abdullah is telling you that the Prophet ﷺ taught them this dua the way, with the same precision, he would teach them the Quran. You know how you teach your young brother, your young sister, your young children the قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ when they're growing up, and then they make a mistake, what do? You stop them, you say, لا, go back, fix it. This is how you say it. This is what Jabir wants you to get in your mind before he shares with you this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet would teach them this hadith with its precision, wanting them to learn it, to say it, to pronounce it. And I've recreated the hadith for you in Arabi, in transliteration, and in the English meaning of it. And we're going to study every word of the hadith as we continue, inshallah. He then said, he would teach us to make Salatul Istikhara in the same way, with the same dedication that he would teach us the Suwar al-Qur'an. And he said to us, meaning to me, Jabir ibn Abdullah, rahmatullahi alayhi wa radiallahu anhu arda, that if anyone is going to begin an action, if anyone is going to do something, and that they want to start a job or start something, there's a new issue in their life that they're about to begin, فَلْيُصَلِّي رَكْعَتَانْ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ, let them pray two rak'ah that are not from the fard prayers. Now this shows you the precision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you can't pray Salatul Maghrib, and after Salatul Maghrib, which we just prayed, you put your hands up and say, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astakhdiruka. La. It has to be two rak'ah that is independent from the regular fard prayer. So the ulama, they give a critique to this. They say it can be any sunnah. So we prayed Salatul Sunnah after Salatul Maghrib, two rak'ah Salat Sunnah. You can join your intention for the both for this particular prayer. It can be Salatul Sunnah with the intention of it also being for Salatul Istikhara. It can be the two rak'ah before Salatul Fajr. It can be the two rak'ah after Dhuhr. It can be Nafl, just entirely a different Salah. You made a wudu and you're just going to pray to Allah. From the dawabit that the ulama have given, they said that this salah should not be performed at a time of karaha, at a time where it's disliked to pray to Allah. There are two main times, and there's a third time that some of the ulama have discussed. The two times that everyone agrees on is when the sun is rising up until ash-shuruq. So from after Fajr, and the sun begins to rise in the sky, rising off the horizon, طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ, no one should pray until the sun is completely risen. Then you can start your salah again. The second time that the ulama agree is when the sun is declining after Salatul Asr until it sets for Salatul Maghrib. So when the sun is setting, you shouldn't pray until Al-Maghrib Adhan arrives. And that's why you will see some people in the masjid, they'll remain standing waiting for the salah. They want to take the ajr of the two sunnah, not praying while the sun is setting and not sitting when they've come to the masjid without greeting it. The third one, which there's dispute amongst the ulama, is when the sun is getting to its zenith right before Adhan Salatul Dhuhr. At the height of the sun, right before Salatul Dhuhr, the very last 10 minutes before the Adhan of Dhuhr, for some of the ulama, it's seen as a time where it's makruh to pray. And therefore, Salatul Istikhara takes the hukm of any other nafl, any other sunnah, that it should not be prayed in those three times, or at least in those two major times that don't have dispute upon them. Two rak'ah that are not fard, not Salatul Fajr, not from Maghrib, none of these prayers, inshaAllah. Other than the compulsory prayers, and the Prophet ﷺ makes that distinction very clear. And then he says, the Prophet then begins to teach the dua. Here we're going to pause. Before we talk about the dua, let's talk about why you're making the dua. One of the bigger misconceptions and one of the bigger problems people have is that they assume Salatul Istikhara is to help you make a decision. And this is a false understanding of what Salatul Istikhara is. Salatul Istikhara is not to help you to decide between two things. Salatul Istikhara is to help you deal with the ramifications of a decision you made that you've asked Allah to bless. What does the word Istikhara mean? It comes from the word khayr, goodness. And therefore, أنت تستخير الخير. You are seeking the best goodness. So, let's take the example of you want to buy a car. When does Salatul Istikhara come into play? Salatul Istikhara is the third part of your decision-making process. And for those of you who want to take notes, you may do so, inshallah. There are three steps to making a decision. First is your aql. You sit with yourself. Okay, alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed me with a little bit of money. I have 3,000 pounds. That's the amount of money that I'm going to be able to spend on my car. So now I sit to make a decision. Which car should I buy? I want to make a good purchase. I want a purchase, inshallah, that's going to be a safe purchase, good for my dunya, good for my akhirah. I can only spend 3,000 pounds. So I begin to use my mind. I get on the internet. I search. I go visit car dealerships. I look in the newspaper. I see in the masjid billboard, is anyone selling a car? I put my effort, my intelligence, my abilities into making a decision. Usually you narrow it down to two or three choices. That's the first step. Now I found the first step of my decision. There's two or three options for me. Two or three in my mind look like good options. The second level of making a decision is not called istikhara, it's called istishara. Meaning taking counsel from experts. So then you come and you see a brother, mashallah, in the masjid who you know is a mechanic. I say, akhi, should I buy the Ford or the Toyota? Brother, the mechanic is going to tell you, go for the Toyota. I can tell you that. I don't need to be a mechanic to tell you that. Right? You take the istishara. He'll ask you questions. What year is the model? How many kilometers? How many miles on it? How many drivers owned it? Is it a damaged vehicle before or not? He'll ask you questions maybe you didn't think of. He'll give you istishara. He'll add wisdom that you in your aql did not have. And all of a sudden the three choices he discounts it. Now you have one option. He says, no, akhi, this is the one you should take. Out of the three that you spoke about, this is the right one. This is when istikhara is done. The choice is made. I haven't made the purchase, but I've settled on a decision. Salat al-istikhara is not in the beginning, where I have three choices. Oh Allah, which of the three is good? Oh Allah, show me a dream. La, mafish dream. Have we? Mafi. Oh, I saw a red version of it in my dream driving. La, has nothing to do with istikhara. This false understanding of istikhara needs to be fixed. Istikhara is done after you've made a decision that's been narrowing it down. You've taken advice and now you've settled on the right thing. Should I take this job or not? The pay is right. The location is right. It's a good work environment. Other people, what about this job? Yeah, it's nice as well, but this one's better. I like this one. You've settled. Alas, this is the one I'm going to take. Now you want to make sure that the knowledge you have doesn't let you down. Because the knowledge you have is limited to what, who you asked, what you researched, how much finance you have. That's all your knowledge is. Your knowledge does not extend into the ghaib. It does not extend into what is the future. Your knowledge does not know whether that car is going to be reason for you to drive too quickly because its engine is too shaitan for you and make you get in an accident. You're impressed. MashaAllah, it's got a V6. MashaAllah, it's got a turbo. It's a good deal. Only 3,000. Normally this on the market, 4,500. I'm getting a good, it's a good car. Buy it. Don't think twice. You know people, they tell you that? Don't think twice. La. You don't think twice, but you make istikhara once. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when you make istikhara. You made a decision. I have the money. This is the... I'm going to do it. Okay. Let me make the dua. Now when you look at the dua with this explanation I gave you, the dua will make sense to you. Previously, subhanAllah, the kind of questions you get, it shows that the person does not understand what they're asking for. Now you will see why you don't need to ask your mom to make istikhara for you. Now you will see why you don't need to be indecisive in the decision, because the decision is yours. Allah does not make decisions for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to send you a... You know, I had one sister, she said, Shaykh, I made salatul istikhara whether I should marry the brother or not. And I haven't seen a sign. I said, what sign are you looking for, sister? She said, my mom said, maybe I'll see him sitting on the moon. Moon? SubhanAllah, for you to marry the brother, he's got to sit on the moon. Wow, how are you going to get married? It doesn't make sense. Oh, Shaykh, I heard that I'm supposed to not have any decision in my heart before istikhara. How is that possible? Shaykh, I have two jobs and I'm scared because I like one of them. I'm scared my istikhara won't work. As if istikhara is an eight ball. You know what the eight ball is? You shake it and you say, should I go to work today or not? Yes, okay, I have to go to work. La, istikhara is not this. It's not a toy. It's not something you, divinity sticks. Wal'iyadu billah. Istikhara is now you asking Allah to stamp His approval on what you've decided. Or, oh Allah, if what I decided is wrong, save me from it. That's istikhara. Let's look at the hadith now. Turn your attention to the hadith. You begin by saying, Allahumma. SubhanAllah. That's a beautiful, beautiful statement. Allahumma. What does Allahumma mean? It is an acknowledgement that you have an ilah and He's the only one you ask. Allahumma. Oh Allah. Singling out Allah. It's not Ya Rabb. No, you're asking Allah by His name, Allah. Allahumma. And when you say Allahumma, it's, oh Allah, you're my Allah. Allahumma, you're for me, ya Allah. Your attention is for me. Your knowledge is for me. Your assistance is for me. Your help is for me. Allahumma. And this is a nida al-muhabbab. It's one of the most beautiful ways to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni, I ask you. Therefore, can you make istikhara for someone else? Huh? What's the dua saying from the beginning? Allahumma inni. It's for me, ya Allah. The dua is mine. It's my need. It's my decision. I'm the one in control of it. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astaqdiruka biqudratik. Oh Allah, I ask you by the knowledge to guide me by the knowledge that only you possess. Bi'ilmik. It's ilm that only you have. Nobody else has it. وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And by the power you possess that nobody else possesses. Nobody else has this qudra, O Allah. Nobody else has this power. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. And I ask you for your great blessings. Subhanallah, three things you're asking for. Knowledge from Allah, power that Allah possesses, and blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. أَسْتَخِيرُكَ. I ask you to guide me to the good. أَسْتَخِيرُكَ is where we get the word istikhara. أَسْتَخِير, it means I'm asking for guidance that leads me to the best of guidance, the best of outcome, the best of needs, the most goodness that I can accomplish. وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And I ask you to share your power with me, to bless me with your power and to bestow your favor and blessing upon me. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. Oh Allah, you are the one who is able, you are the one who is powerful, you are the one who can do what I can't do. And you are the one who knows what I don't know, what nobody else knows. You know what my mother doesn't know. My mother says to me, if you take this job, it's going to give... Oh Allah, you know about this car, the mechanic, he told me this, but you're the one who knows what it is for me. Other people know things that I've asked about. I've already gotten advice. But the advice you will give me now, what you will decide in my decision, what you will bless me towards, nobody can help me in that way. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. اللهم. Once again you say, O Allah, O my Allah, إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ. O Allah, if what you know, subhanAllah, if what you know about this, subhanAllah, the one making this dua, it's as if they're speaking with a friend. And the concept of being min awliya'ullah or a khalil to Allah. Look at Ibrahim. اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. He's a friend to Allah. When you listen to the dua of the prophets of Allah, it's like they were having a conversation that was frank with Allah. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Oh Allah, I only complain about my sorrow and my grief to you, Ya Rabb. There is a riwayah that Ya'qub, when he would be in sujood, he will say, Ya Rabb, مَنْ لِي غَيْرَكَ. Oh Allah, who do I have other than you that I can complain? Yusuf is lost. مَنْ لِي غَيْرَكَ يَا رَبْ. Who is there for me other than you? He would speak to Allah. Musa speaks to Allah Azza wa Jal. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِ وَأَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةَ. Fix my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. It's not just fix my... He's not just asking, but he's explaining. Fix my tongue so when I speak to Fir'aun, he will understand what I'm saying. Musa used to stutter. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. Give me someone from my family to carry this burden. هَارُونَ أَخِي. It has to be my brother who's from my family. أشدد به أزري. Oh Allah, if you give him to me to help me, he will make me strong. وأشركه في أمري. Join him in this mission with me. كي نسبحك كثيرا. If you give me Harun, we will be able to remember you often. He'll remind you, me to make you تسبيح of you. ونذكرك كثيرا. إنك كنت بنا بصيرا. Because now I know that you are always watching us and seeing us and helping us, يا رب. اللهم إن كنت تعلم. Oh Allah, if you know this thing, what you know about this thing. And then you mention it. Oh Allah, if you know this car is good for me. خيرًا لي. خيرٌ لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري. Did this thing, this car, this marriage, this job, this career, this trip, this suit, this jubba, the Sahaba that used to make Salatul Istikhara even for purchases like shoes, because it was a big purchase back then. Shoes were tailored for you, you know, it had to be done nicely for you. It was a big purchase, it would cost money to get proper shoes. They would make dua for things that you and I, as Jabir ibn Abdullah says, for all matters in our life. The Prophet would teach us this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, if you know that this job, خَيْرٌ لِي, is better for me, good for me, فِي دِينِي, for my faithfulness in you, وَمَعَاشِي, my life in its generality, how I live, in my rizq in it, in my health in it, وَعَاقِبَةُ أَمْرِي, and in my eventual return to you, meaning in my akhirah to you. If this thing is better in my deen, for my worship of you, my relationship with you, my livelihood, and my end of return to you, O Allah, فَقْدِرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي, then make it qadr for me. Make it attainable for me. And make it easy for me to achieve. Because I've already decided I want it. أَقْدِرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. Make it my qadr. Make it easy to have. And then put barakah in it. Allahu Akbar. Add your blessing to it, O Allah. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ. But O Allah, if you know that this thing, and you know what I don't know, you already said to Allah, if this thing, إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرْ شَرٌّ لِي, is evil for me, bad for me, في ديني, in my religiousness, ومعاشي, in my life, وعاقبة أمري, and in my return to you, O Allah, فصرفه عني, turn it away from me. صرف means to turn something away, to look to another place, that it turns away from me. وصرفني عنه, and turn me away from it. Subhanallah. You know how sometimes someone turns away from you, but you're still looking at them? يعني, you came and proposed, and they said no, but you're still saying yes. It's a big problem. لا. Look at the dua. Oh Allah, turn them away from me, and turn me away from them. Turn it away from me, and turn me away from it. وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ وَأَقْدِرْ لِي خَيْرٌ وَأَقْدِرْ لِي الْخَيْرُ, and only give my qadr, O Allah, in that which is blessed and good. حَيْثُ كَان, wherever it is, meaning it might not be in the thing that I want, wherever my khayr is, give me that khayr, make it my qadr, O Allah. ثُمَّ ارْضِنِي بِهِ, then make me content with it. Because sometimes your qadr is something that you're not happy with. And the reason you're not happy with it is because you have not been doing Salatul Istikhara. Now let's talk once again, let's resume. We've given a sharh of some of the important words in the dua. Let's talk about its practice. So we said that Salatul Istikhara is the third part of your decision making. The first is your mind, is your ability, is your thoughts. Khalas, this is what I think, 2-3 choices. Then you take istishara, you ask people for advice. After you've asked for advice, it's been narrowed down. You've made a decision. This is what I'm going to do. Now, oh Allah, I've made this decision. I'm going to buy this car tomorrow, Ya Rab, inshaAllah. Tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to go online, I'm going to go to this ad, I'm going to go to the car yard, and I'm going to ask about the car, and I'm going to purchase it, Ya Rab. But oh Allah, if in your knowledge, if in your power, if in your blessing upon me, you see that this car is good for me, let me have it, because I think it is. Let it happen. And put barakah in it for me. But oh Allah, in your knowledge and in your power and in what you know that I don't know, if this car is not good for me, oh Allah, turn it from me and turn me from it. So subhanAllah, you make that dua. You don't see any dreams. This thing about seeing dreams has nothing to do with istikhara. Nothing. Yani this is, I don't know where it's come from, right? None of our books, none of our imams, none of the imams of Ahl Sunnah have attached any meaningfulness to dreams in this sense. And I'll talk about dreams shortly. So then you go to the car yard in the morning and you speak to the salesman and you say, I saw this ad and I wanted to take a look at the car. And he says, oh, you just missed it. Someone just picked it up late in the afternoon yesterday. In your heart, you didn't say, Subhanallah, la hawla wa la quwwata, I missed out on a good deal. That car is normally $4,500. I could have got it for $3,000. Subhanallah, I missed out. La. Allah turned it away from you. You wanted to buy those nice Jordans, nice shoes. You made your istikhara. Sahaba would make istikhara. You go to the Foot Locker in the morning. You say, can I have a size 10? They say, oh, we got a 10 and a half or an 11 or a 9 and a half. There's no 10. You don't say, oh, let me check another store. قدر الله وما شاء فعل. This is khayr. This is an answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The answer to your istikhara is that you receive it, which means Allah blessed it for you. Or you don't get it, which means Allah protected you from it. In both cases, you're happy. Why is this important? You made Salatul Istikhara, as I just taught you. And you get married. And 5 years later, you get a divorce. You don't say, Subhanallah, I wish I never got married. La. Allah knows that that marriage was the right thing for you, even if it ended in that divorce. Even if you experience that divorce, this is the khair, and this is in the knowledge of Allah better than had you not been married to this person or made another choice. Why? Because you made istikhara, you know that this was what was khair for you. Allah determined for you, because you ended up getting married. Allah didn't turn her from you, turn you from him. So you have no regrets in your life because you have always wanted the good with Allah. You've always asked Allah's guidance to stamp His approval on the ramifications of every decision that is important in your life to be made. You live unburdened. You live a life that is unburdened. And that's the greatest freedom that a believer has that other people don't have. And that's why when you say, قدر الله وما شاء فعل, you're talking about al-istikhara. What was the word we said? قدرتك. The faithfulness, the power you have over my fate. Oh Allah, let your fate decide for me if I have it or not. I believe it's good. If it's not good, turn it away from me. Turn me away from it. But if you've attained it, it means that this was good even if you experience pain in it. Even if it is difficult for you, that pain is the goodness that Allah wanted you to have, because if you did something different, your pain would have been greater. And therefore you say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. This is in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three important points that I want you to make note of, inshaAllah. One is to know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to specify particular dua for particular needs. there are particular medicines for particular illnesses, and there are particular dua for particular needs. And one of the regular medicines, one of the regular antibiotics, anti-dunya medicines you should be taking is Salatul Istikhara. It unburdens you from regret. It unburdens you from sorrow. It unburdens you from second guessing. It unburdens you from wondering, did I make the right choice or not? It unburdens you from all of these things because you've done that three-step process. You've asked, you've thought about it, asked advice, and then you've concurred it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you step forward and Allah's given you or turned you away from it. If any time you make these decisions based on your istikhara, you will find that there is this medicine that will always give you a cure to that waswasa in your heart. The greatest cure to the waswasa of doubt, which is from the shaitan, is Salatul Istikhara. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, of the worst statements that a person can make, and it is from the words that the shaitan puts in your heart, لو, if only. What if I did? Had I only done? If, لو, if I didn't marry him, if I didn't move, if I didn't take that job, if I hadn't listened to them, if, لو من كلام الشيطان, Prophet ﷺ says. The word لو, second guessing, worrying about decisions you've made in the past that no longer you can go back and unchange, it is a word from the shaitan. And the way to eliminate that waswasa and that statement from your heart is Salatul Istikhara. That's the first principle. It is a medicine and a cure for those grievances and those ailments that will come later on in life after a decision that you're not happy with. Number two, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attentive to His servants. And therefore, before you make dua, in all dua, make sure that you take the means for it to be answered. Salatul Istikhara is a dua that you make. Why does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ask you to pray before it? Because the likelihood of your dua being answered after an act of righteousness is greater than when you're just sitting in your car and you make dua al-istikhara without salah. Alright? Now, let's talk a little bit about the fiqh in this sense. There is adab to dua. There are manners you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. In this hadith, the Prophet ordains them upon you and you have no choice in it. What are the adab? That you make wudu, because you have to pray 2 rak'ah, right? Look at how the Prophet ﷺ puts you in a place where he's trying to make your dua more answerable, because it's critical to your happiness in life. Make dua. Do a righteous deed. Do something voluntary that isn't written upon you. Something that you bring yourself to Allah's attention that isn't something written. You're doing something voluntary, something extra. So the Prophet says, don't make it a salah that Allah's ordered you, because you have to do that. Do a salah that's extra. And make the dua after the salah. Now here the ulama, they have two opinions. The majority is that it is after the salam. As-salamu alaykum wa as-salamu alaykum. Then you make dua al-istikhara. While seated in the position of tashahud. While seated immediately after salah. In the same place, you just finished your prayer. And this, some of our imams, even Al-Imam Ibn Jibreen, Shaykh Ibn Jibreen, rahmatullahi alayhi, the teacher of our teachers, he writes in his book about the importance of making dua after salah. That this is evidence that dua is honored after salah. Salatul Istikhara is something you make dua immediately after salah. You stay seated in your tashahud, facing the Qibla, all of this makes your dua more likely to be answered. Although the Prophet ﷺ does not recommend and does not say it here that you should put your hands up to Allah all of the imams of fiqh, they say that you should raise your hands in making this dua because you're begging of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance. So you put your hands and cup your hands to Allah. There are five different ways the Prophet used to raise his hands in dua. The first is that he would bisababa, pointing with his tashahud finger. And this was done when he was given admonitions and khutbas and sermons. When he was standing on his pulpit, he would make his dua with the sababa. And this is called raf'ul yad in dua, raising your hand in dua. The second way of making dua that the Prophet would raise his hand was by pointing his palms to the sky. And this is dua al-istisqa. The Prophet ﷺ would ask for rain and bring the rain down with his hands like this. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This was a form of making dua for istisqa. The third was putting his hands again and asking Allah to separate the clouds. And this was dua biraf' al-yadayn. He would put his palms to the heaven. O Allah, stop the rain. Allahumma hawlana wa alayna. O Allah, turn it around us and not put it on us when it was torrential rain upon Al-Madina. The fourth way of making dua with the hands of the Prophet ﷺ was what was called Al-Qunut. And Al-Imam Ahmad, the Qunut dua is that your hands are cupped and they are at the level that does not go past your shoulder. And your hands are in front of you and your palms, your fingers are spaced together. They are not open and they're not closed tightly, but they're in a relative position. And it is the position of a beggar who is before a master asking, "Oh Allah, give me." And this form of dua is dua al-su'al. It's the way of asking Allah. In the hadith of Imam Abu Dawood, which Shaykhna al-Albani has deemed sahih, Prophet ﷺ said, no one puts their hands up to Allah, meaning in this way, their hands, their palms to Allah, and asks Allah, and accept that Allah is shy of them not to give them something. You will be given something in your hand. That it comes down to you. Allah will give you something as a reward of this. It was seen as a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in certain dua to wipe upon himself after it. Not all dua, but in some dua. Some of them are when he would recite the qul before sleeping. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ فَلَقٍ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, reciting Ayat al-Kursi, and in one riwayah that's in Sahih Muslim, reciting the seven Fatiha, seven times al-Fatiha, فَيَنْفُثْ, breathe in his hand, and he would pass his hands over all parts of his body that were not covered. So he wouldn't touch his clothing, but any part of skin or hair, he would touch himself with it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before you sleep. It is a sunnah to do it in ruqya, upon your children. كان يمسح على الحسن والحسين ينفث في يده. He would read his dua of protection. أعيذكما بالله. I ask Allah to protect you from every eye and from every shaitan and from every evil that seeks you. And he would breathe on it. He would recite the quls. And then he would touch them, the parts of their bodies that were exposed. This was a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, when the Sahaba were passing by and they met a man who was ill in a village, and the people in the village, they said, "Hal minkum raqin?" Any of you know how to make ruqya? The Prophet hadn't taught them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how or what to say. They said, "Yes, we have the Quran." These are people who don't believe. The people they're asking them are not believers. They said, "Yes, we have the ruqya. We know how to make ruqya. We know how to make a spiritual cure." They said, "Okay, do it for us." So the Sahaba read seven times Surah Al-Fatiha, وَنَفَثُ وَلَمَسُ, and they put their lamps upon the man, touched the man, blew upon the man. فَبَرِئَ, he became better. So they gave him a gift, sheep. And the Sahaba said, "No, we can't consume it, we can't take it until we ask the Prophet ﷺ if it's halal. Because we did something, we got paid, we don't know if what we did was correct. We just used this Qur'an." And when they came, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, this happened sallallahu alayhi wasallam." And he said, "You have to give me some of the sheep, because I'm your teacher, sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Right? This is the form of making this dua, to put your hands together at the level of your shoulders, in a way that is a beggar before the master. The fifth and final way that is mentioned of the Prophet ﷺ raising his hands in his dua was at the time of mihna and difficulty. And that's when he would put his hands up to the sky until they would see the whiteness of his armpit, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وهذا عند النازلة. This was in the time of Badr. It was very, يعني, in a time where يَا رَبْ وَيُنَاشِدُ رَبَّهُ, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hands fully extended to Allah azza wa jal. That is not common. It's not something you do every day. That is at a time of need where you have no one but Allah. The Prophet ﷺ mentions it in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, where he says that there was a man who was traveling in the desert, and his mount, his horse, his camel ran away with his food, his water, his sword. He's going to die in the desert. فَرَفَعَ يَدَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. The Prophet says he put his hand to the heavens. Al-Imam al-Nawawi says, أي رَفَعَهَا كَأَنَّهُ يُرِيدُ السَّمَاءِ. He's putting it as if he's trying to touch the sky. You're in need, يَا رَبْ. وَقَالَ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord. Help me, help me. Right? So this is established in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore we've said, so part of you making the dua of Salat al-Istikhara is to do the things that will lead your istikhara to be accepted. Some of the imams of fiqh, they have said, just like you're doing salah before it, you should also do the things that you normally do for your dua to be accepted. Adding salah upon the Prophet ﷺ before it or after it is seen as mustahab. It's not conditional to it. Making your salah upon the Prophet ﷺ. We know from the tradition and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that any dua without the salah upon the Prophet ﷺ is deficient. This is the word of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَكْثِرُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَيْهِ. So increase your prayers for me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. So give sadaqah before salatul istikhara, after salatul istikhara is seen as mustahab. Being a person who's in the assistance of others, when you're asking Allah to be in your assistance, makes your istikhara more readily answerable. Aisha radiallahu anha, one of her famous students, he said, istakhartu thalathan. He was making a decision about his wife. And this is, he's making a decision about, you know, sensitive issues in his family. He said, I made istakhara 3 times. And for this reason, some of the imams have said that salatul istikhara and dua'ul istikhara can be made multiple times. And some of the imams have said, the more you make it, the more urgent it is between you and Allah, the easier it is for you to find resolution for this problem. So you know you're going to be going to buy that car in the morning, do it at night, and do it again before you go out, and do it after your fajr, and make sure that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, His assistance, for His knowledge, for His power, and for what will lead you in the right way, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So those are some of the fiqh issues that are attached. Now, let's end by clearing some of the misconceptions, inshaAllah. حَتَّى لَا نُطِيلَ عَلَيْكُمْ. What time is Salatul Isha? What time is the Adhan? 10 o'clock is the Adhan. 11 o'clock is the Adhan. Yeah, when do I need to stop by is a nice way of asking. 9:45. So we have 10 minutes, inshaAllah. So let's clear some of the misconceptions that relate around Salatul Istikhara. Can more than one person do Istikhara for the same thing? Can more than one? Just say there's two brothers. MashaAllah, they're going to come together to start a new company. They're going to do business together. You and I, you say, okay, Yahya, we're going to start a business. Now you need to do istikhara, because you're part of the business, and I need to do istikhara. You don't say, okay, can you do istikhara for us? La. Everyone who has a share in the istikhara should make it. And therefore, if your mother, for example, it's common in your culture that when you get married, you're going to bring the woman, your new spouse, to live with your mother. She makes istikhara for who? For who? For herself. فَصْرِفْهَا عَنِّي. Keep this one away, right? You're making istikhara. Oh Allah, if she's good for me, I've made my decision. Your mom's like, Yabni, Okay, if you want to, but she has power. See, your mom doesn't know she has that power. I'm teaching her now. Right? She's making istikhara for the same thing, and it might be her istikhara turns away what you're making istikhara for. You're asking for it because you want this. You made your decision. She's making istikhara for something she doesn't want that you want. But she has a reason for that decision. Right? Not because you're making istikhara for yourself, someone can't make istikhara for the same condition from a different perspective. Okay? So when your mom makes istikhara for your marriage, it's not for you, it's for her. Oh Allah, if this son is going to be a good son-in-law to me, bring him, let him be for my daughter. If he's not, oh Allah, turn him from us and turn her from him. Right? She has that right to make istikhara. It's not for the daughter, it's not for the son, but it's for herself. And therefore I want you to change that misconception. I will do istikhara for you. No, it doesn't work that way. You're doing istikhara for yourself as the father, for yourself as the mother. And therefore I always say to those who are looking to get married, your father as the wali, you should make istikhara for your daughter. As her wali, make istikhara for her. Not in her choice, but in what is right for you and your assistance in that choice. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So that's the first misconception. Can more than one person? Yes, more than one person can make it from their own particular vested interest. Everyone has an interest, so you make your istikhara from that perspective, inshallah. Number two, do I have to see a sign? Whether it's a dream or someone comes and talks to me about it, is there something, a sign? And the answer is no. None of our books of fiqh or that discuss al-istikhara talk about any particular signs. Why? Because our deen is a deen of basirah. It's a deen of open-sightedness, of logic, of rationale, of thinking, of making decisions. We don't just say, oh Allah, you make the decision for me. No, Allah has the qadr over us anyway. But He's given you the decision in what He's given you qadr. And I want you to learn this from an incident of Umar radiallahu anhu ardah. Umar radiallahu anhu is Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he's traveled to Damascus. And he's on the boundary of entering Dimashq, al-Sham. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhuma is in the city of Damascus. He's the Amir there, appointed by Umar ibn al-Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And as Umar approaches the city, he hears news that inside al-Sham, there is an epidemic. There is an infectious illness, a plague that people are dying from it. So Umar radiallahu anhu, his fitrah, his firasa, his awareness, his intuition, his spiritual insight stops him. And he stops. And he was traveling with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and some of the other senior sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. And they camped outside. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah is waiting for them, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Umar radiallahu anhu turns to the Sahaba and says, هَلْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ شَيْئًا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ? Any of you hear anything from the Prophet ﷺ about what we should do in a situation like this? This is the mindset of the believer. Always ask, what would the Prophet do? What did the Prophet say? What did the Prophet habit? Anyone know? Umar doesn't know, radiallahu anhu. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, who is a reporter of this hadith, he says, yes, and the hadith is عند الإمام البخاري. Yes, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say, that if any of you come to a city, وفيها الوباء, and it has in it an infectious illness, طاعون, فلا تدخلوها, don't enter it if you're not in it. وإذا أنتم بها فلا تخرجوا منها, and if you're inside, don't leave it. The first principles of quarantine, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar sends a message to Abu Ubaidah, we are not coming, radiallahu anhum. Abu Ubaidah writes a scathing letter to Amir al-Mu'mineen and writes in it, أَتَفِرْ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ يَا عُمَرُ. O Umar, are you trying to escape what Allah has written upon you? Meaning that if Allah has written, you come in this city, you get sick and die, that's Allah's qadr. Who are you to try to change your qadr? So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote him a response. And I want you to learn this for this hadith, for your dua, for your life. He said, أَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ. He said, I escape the qadr of Allah to the qadr of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Every day in your life, you have 100 qadr. You have 100 choices. It's one qadr. The qadr is you're alive. The qadr is you're in Birmingham. The qadr is it's in this year, in this day. But in that day, Allah's given you the choices to change your qadr. You change it by the choices you make. Allah knows where you would be now if you're not with me. أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ وَمَا سَيَكُونَ وَمَا سَوْفَ يَكُونَ وَمَا يَكُونُ لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Allah knows what was, what is, what would be, and what could be, even though it will never happen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you make dua al-istikhara because you can choose your qadr. Your qadr, you don't say it's my qadr to marry this person. Yes, it was your qadr to choose to marry that person. But Allah had given you other options to choose. Right? It's not, oh, Allah put me in this situation. That is a false aqeedah in believing in qadr. It's called al-aqeedah al-qadr al-iblisiyya. The ulama, they have a statement for it. It is the mentality of Iblis. What did Iblis say? He said, you're the one, ya Allah, أغويتني. You're the one who let me not make sujood to Adam. Ya Allah, you're the one who allowed me to do this. Why didn't you stop me? La. It's the qadr of Iblis to make that choice. He was mukhayyar, muyassar, given the choice. And therefore in istikhara, in making a choice, it is entirely in your choosing, but you're asking Allah to bless what the ramifications for it would be. So therefore, when you experience pain of it, sadness from it, hardship from it, you don't say, I wish I never did it, had I not done it. No, you know that Allah has led you down this path. Third misconception, so that we can end and get ready for Salatul Isha. Allahumma taqabbalha minna ya Rabb. Finally, as a misconception, is can you pay someone to do Salatul Istikhara? And subhanAllah, you hear some very strange things. Sometimes you'll get a young man, he goes, Sheikh, we asked the peer, or we asked the Mawlana, we asked the Sheikh to make it for us, and he said it was unclear. MashaAllah, unclear. He was looking in the mirror and it was fuzzy. This kind of dajjal, it's a form of dajjal. Don't ever believe that anyone has that some spiritual connection, that their istikhara is better than somebody else's istikhara. We said that the dua begins what? Allahumma inni I. I'm asking for this for myself, right? So don't ever pay anyone for it. Immediately know that this is not something that is blessed by Allah. Immediately know that this is something that is not going to give you any reward, and that there is no answer that they can give you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide you on your own towards. Salatul Istikhara is a decision you make and asking Allah to bless and give you its ramification. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وصلي اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, just a quick announcement. We have a unique up-and-coming event, inshallah, on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m., entitled Head to Head. This is a unique event which is designed...